Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked, game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked, your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and here we are.
Here we are.
Our final
soul
day.
Survivors.
Yeah, our final day here at the NFL meetings. Well, can we really say we're still at the NFL? We're at the site of the NFL meetings.
We're in a hallway in a hotel.
at the Ritz Carlton, yes. In Orlando, where the meetings just wrapped up yesterday. And, well, we're still here. So we're going to kind of give the aftermath, the eulogy.
Yeah, there are some prominent NFL figures still here, as the traffic going by might have indicated. There's some remnants floating around.
Well, I mean, I could spend some time here, just hanging out.
I'll chill here. Yeah, there's
no doubt. It's not a bad spot.
Yep, this is our last day at home.
Yep,
there you have it.
There you go. So the Steelers
made a little acquisitions.
Yeah, they were busy. Together. So yesterday morning, the league passes the new kickoff rule.
Right.
Yesterday afternoon, the Steelers didn't announce it, but it was announced via social media.
Right.
The Steelers have made an agreement with
Cordarrelle Patterson,
who is the all-time NFL leader in kick return touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean,
with nine,
most ever. I think he's the best kickoff returner ever. I know Devin Hester. We didn't agree
he's
with
punt returner.
West went in the Hall of Fame, but he is much more of a punt returner. But they have similar careers, to be honest with you. They're unbelievable with the ball in their hands. Neither one really hooked on as an offensive player. Hester, they even tried to make a corner for some reason. They just couldn't figure out what to do with him. But Patterson, to Arthur Smith's credit,
he unlocked a little something.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, he turned him into a running back first. And, you know, he came in the league as a receiver. If you want to see something crazy, go YouTube his Tennessee highlights. They're bonkers. I mean, it's just him with the ball just making the SEC look silly. But he's a phenomenal kickoff returner. He's going to be your running back three, I would assume, which is a high-end number three.
Yeah.
You know, he's pass protected. He's been around the league. He's had some success. He's going to be your jet sweep guy, things like that for sure. Probably can help the receiver room a little. You know, I mean, he's not a real diverse route tree guy at this stage, but he's considered a high character guy, great locker room dude. I think he runs down on punts, too. I'm not sure
He's 33 now. He's probably not going to do a lot of that.
It might be kind of like the Patrick Peterson signing in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like he's somewhat of a legend at what he
could
does.
If he had to, yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's just a ringing endorsement of, first off, this – kickoff rule matters. You know, I mean, I'm sure that they've been chatting with him all along, and Arthur Smith has a relationship with him, of course. But as soon as it got passed, boom, you go get the best kickoff returner in the league. And that, coupled with spending money on a punter, shows me that special teams is highly, highly important to this team.
Yeah, and they always have been. Sometimes things happen, and, you know,
not every team spends money on
too, the Presley Harvin stuff. I know a lot of fans. Well, he was awful. He was terrible. If you've listened to this show on a regular, when we were at training camp the last couple of years, watching Presley Harvin punt at training camp, there would be no way you wouldn't think that guy was going to be one of the best punters in the league,
or that he would have any trouble making the team.
Yeah,
that's our guy, right?
70-yard kick after 70-yard kick after 70-yard kick.
Ball sounded and looked different coming off his foot than other punters.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but no, I mean, so you look at it. I mean, this is a guy who has been a four-time first-team All-Pro.
As a special team guy.
Yeah. Two-time second-team All-Pro. I mean,
he's a weapon.
He's a weapon.
He is.
He was almost his first season in the league. He's offensive rookie. He's third in voting for offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah. The Vikings drafted him in the first round. He's an unbelievably dynamic player coming into the league, and they would just get him the ball any way they possibly could. I mean, the whole world was abuzz with this guy and kind of like a Percy Harvin Vikings type of role. You know, just get him the football, ends arounds, hand it to him, whatever, throw him quick screens. And, you know, and I still think he has those qualities, maybe not as dynamic as that. I mean, like I said, his Tennessee tape is unbelievable. But just the returner, the insurance at running back, another wrinkle to the offense. And this coupled with the Watkins signing and more receivers to come, I'm not sure where Calvin Austin fits in as much anymore. You know, like, he's not going to be the number one returner.
Well, he'll be the number one punt returner.
He'll be the number one punt returner. Yeah, I mean, he's smallish for the blocking that Arthur Smith wants. All of a sudden, you kind of have Van Jefferson and Watkins, who to me are on his level. Like, I'm not saying they're going to cut him, but I don't know that any of these moves in the last couple of days scream Calvin Austin's the answer.
Well, and nor should he be considered. I mean, he's heading into year three, and, you know, he's played one season, and, you know, he did a couple of nice things, but overall, you're not guaranteed a spot.
No, so he's not guaranteed a spot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, him and Patterson aren't the same. It's just over the course of these 2 days, I think, put a little heat on him.
Yeah, you know, I've seen some people speculate, what does this do for Najee and Jaylen Warren? Nothing.
Oh, I think nothing.
Nothing.
Think
this does not affect them one iota.
And I don't know if they would have, but I think you don't use a late pick on a running back now. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of like the Allen signing at quarterback.
I mean, effectively, both of their return guys from last year, Godwin Igwebike and Anthony McFarland, are no longer with the team.
Mm-hmm.
So you just replace those guys.
And upgrade them.
Yeah.
I mean, again, because of the kickoff rule, you spend a little bit money on a kickoff returner, field position. Again, it goes back to the punter as well. I mean, you're not going to blow people's doors off and win 35-0. I mean, you're going to have to win in the margins. And, you know, I'm sure the quarterback play will be different this year. It'll bring more big plays. But still, they want to run the ball, play defense, play field position, and Patterson and upon Johnson help.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got a guy that in 2021 rushed for 618 yards.
Yeah.
In
that was him and Algier there before.
Yeah.
Robinson. I was thinking 22. I'm sorry.
22 is then. It was he and Algier. He had 695 yards. That, that being a career high. Now, last year, they bring in Bijan Robinson, and he only gets 50 carries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different last year.
Which is still a decent workload for a number three running back.
Yeah.
I mean, he might get 50 carries here behind Warren and Harris, too. Who knows?
And, you know, a guy that, again, in 2021 caught 52 passes for 548 yards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as a running back goes, he's a very good receiver. I mean,
it's a matchup issue.
Yeah. Came in the league as a wide receiver. I mean, like, if you go, the Vikings went to the podium and said wide receiver, Cordarrelle Patterson from Tennessee. And we knew he was going to be like a Treylon Burks or, you know, a guy that was going to be a work in progress
as
a route runner.
They should try to have his kind of career.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Absolutely.
You know.
But, I mean, even a Burks isn't as twitchy and dynamic as Patterson was. I mean, he was Gumby with his movements coming out. He was an odd bird.
Yeah.
A
physical, tough runner.
Runs through
tackles. And the
you would think he'd be an outside zone, you know,
pitch guy.
He'll hit it up there. He's a big guy. He's not. I mean, I mentioned Austin. Him and they don't look.
They
at all
don't
like
look anything
him. He's
like
220 or something like that. Yeah.
And the thing is, when you line a guy up like that in the backfield, he's going to get a linebacker.
Most often, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, unless a team really wants to, well, we got to dedicate a safety or something to that guy coming out of the backfield. Well, that's a win for the offense, too.
Yeah, and I would think he's, again, I haven't watched all of his offensive tape, but watched him a lot as a running back the last couple of years. I would think he's more than capable of, okay, we're coming out in 12 personnel, and he's the back with two tight ends, and you get base. Well, I think he could split out the slot and run receiver routes or, you know, go outside the numbers and run goes, you know, and out of empty.
He was a fantasy league winner.
Oh, yeah.
In 2021, he was like a cheat code.
Yes.
You know, because nobody drafted him.
No.
And then if you picked him up after the first couple of weeks of, like, you got 1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns.
He was unbelievably productive at the end of that season. I mean, it was like all – what was it, like a 10-game stretch where he just went crazy?
Oh, he just went bonkers. Just went bonkers. And,
so he's very talented.
And again, I think you're 100% right. There's no coincidence there that they signed him, you know, after that punt return rule or the kick return rule.
Right, of course.
I mean, he's three times he's led the league in kick return average.
Mm-hmm.
Two other times he's led the league in total kick return yards.
He's the best kick returner ever.
Yeah, and again, the nine kick return touchdowns is an NFL record. Mm-hmm. The Steelers haven't had a guy lead the league in kick return average since?
Oh, I have no clue.
Rod Woodson, 1989.
Wow. I don't remember. It's been a while. I remember him turning punts. I didn't remember him returning kicks.
Yeah.
And it's quite a while.
That's been a while.
It's been a while.
And Patterson is that kind of athlete, not quite to the Woodson's level.
Young Patterson was in the neighborhood. He's 32, right?
33. Yeah.
33.
He'll be 33, yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the normal wear and tear of a 33-year-old
running back. No, because he's been
a specialty player.
Yeah. And so, again, Arthur Smith was able to unlock that a few years ago, and they've been together. Definitely
his best offensive seasons were
with Arthur Smith
as a running back.
Yeah, the other thing that does is it gives you another guy who can kind of help teach the offensive guys, your playmakers,
absolutely.
Okay, here's what we're doing. Here's what coach is looking for on this play.
On this route concept.
Yeah, because he's played running back. He's done some wide receiver stuff. He can kind of be that guy that they can lean on, and he's got the gravitas. These guys all know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like this is almost like signing Patrick Peterson.
I would say it really reminded me of that. I mean, I don't think Cordarrelle Patterson's in the Hall of Fame, but it is kind of a end of career, respected, really good locker room guy. People knew who he was before he walked in the building, and you know, carried a big stick with him too. So he
had four kick return for touchdowns in his first three seasons. That's 2013, 14, and 15. Mm-hmm. For most of the guys in this locker room.
Oh,
that's probably right around when they
were playing Madden.
Yeah, they were in high school where they were just, you know, and you're watching games, this guy's really good.
Oh, he was human joystick type of guy,
yeah.
You know, and I don't play Madden, but I assume he was a fun Madden player. You know what I mean? Because his skill set translated to the game.
You wonder how, because I used to do this way back when I still played, those video games. I always played with the Lions.
Okay.
Because I could have Barry Sanders.
Sure.
But then I could also, the return guy that they had, Mel Gray.
Mel Gray, yeah.
If you put Mel Gray in the backfield, nobody could catch him.
Because
he was better than Barry Sanders.
It's too elusive. Like,
yeah, he just starts. Hit the speed button and get to the outside. You're getting 30 yards, you know.
Yeah. No, so I think Patterson's a great signing. I mean, it sounds like, again, this is not official, but it's like 2 years, $6 million is what's been reported. Fine. I mean, he's going to help in many areas.
It's probably effectively a 1-year deal.
I would bet that's the way
that he gets. The money kicks in next year.
Yeah.
That you could easily move on.
In a way, he kind of saves you a roster spot too.
He's because he can do multiple things,
he can get you out of a game as a receiver. He's your number one returner. So, no, I think there's value there.
Absolutely, and that's the kind of move that Omar Khan is.
Last couple of days, doing a little
he's starting to get an MO here of signing these guys who are bottom of the roster guys but can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, and they've been around the league, and they have, they've been in stadiums, as Coach says, and,
performed at a high level.
And they're NFL quality professionals.
Yeah.
They're
not, and again, have some value to their name and have been guys that have started. Mm-hmm. Armani Watts started a lot of games in his career.
Absolutely.
He was kind of like, they signed him. It's the same thing.
With Lowry.
Yeah, with Lowry. He started a lot of games in the league.
Yep. And maybe you're not Aaron Donald. Most aren't. But if you can hold your own while Cam gets a break or whatever, there's a lot of value there.
You can give me 20 quality snaps,
and
I don't have to worry about I know that they're going to be steady snaps. There's not going to be the variance of a younger player.
He's going to have some good, some bad, but he probably won't blow the game up from a good or bad perspective. Great. I mean, you're an inning eater. I mean, that stuff's important. And as we always talk about, too, it lessens the pressure on you on draft day of, oh, I have to get one of these guys, or, I'm fine with it.
It is a shallow defensive tackle.
It is. And I wouldn't want to be in the returner world, slash running backs at this stage either. So,
yeah.
No, I like what they've done.
Absolutely.
And even Allen is a professional number three. I mean, he's been kind of miscast as a, not miscast, but he's often been a two. Well, he's not a great two. He's fine, but as a three, he's really good. He's been on the block. And
Kyle Allen, Quez Watkins.
Right.
I mean, I don't ever remember the Steelers signing or coming to terms with four guys during the owners' meetings.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. A 2-day stretch.
You look at Mike Tomlin's in meetings, Omar Khan's in meetings, Art Rooney II's in they're all in meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And you're getting these deals
and
done.
All the media stuff.
Yeah.
And all the just the owners' meetings and the dinners and stuff like that, too. Their phone must be blowing up left and right.
Yeah.
Do they sleep at all?
That's right. I did ask Omar. I'm like, do you sleep at this thing? Or, you know, you've been pretty busy.
Yeah, this is being pulled a lot of directions.
Yeah. Andy has his family here.
Ooh. I don't know if that's a good move or not.
Well, they were off at the amusement parks.
You know? Right. I'm sure they know Daddy's not going to be throwing them around the pool or hanging out with Shamu, but yeah.
Anyways, let's get to a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here in Orlando at the Ritz-Carlton, where the league meetings just wrapped up yesterday. You can also watch the show on YouTube. This will be the last day that we are on YouTube until... Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll do draft stuff. Who knows? But you can check out
something between here and there.
Yeah, you can check out all the Steelers content on the Steelers channel on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe to that. All kinds of great stuff on there. One-on-ones with basically everybody that gets signed. You can go check out the Russell Wilson one-on-one on there as well. And there's just all kinds of great stuff that the Steelers staff puts out on there.
Mock draft triple take stuff coming up.
We'll have some more of those
in the book.
We'll shoot another one of those soon. And we got a little wrinkle coming up in that as well. So that little teaser there for that. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more on The Drive right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, your home for all things Steelers. And we are here in Orlando at the NFL meetings, which wrapped up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Everything else wrapped up around us here yesterday as well. But it's also, now that this is over, Matt, it's time to start seriously digging in to the draft.
Oh, heavily. And
that was one of the things that Art Rooney said yesterday. He's like, well, you know, now that the meetings are over, we can start focusing more on the next step in the process.
I mean, for example, I mean, LSU Pro Days today, you said off the air, and a lot of big ones have happened already. I'm sure these scouts are hitting it heavy and really finalizing each report, and they're going to present it to the
team. The visits will start heating up here.
Yeah, and some of those have been announced. Some are a little under the radar at this point or hard to find, but you will start to find the visits. That's huge. And then it's not going to be long before they, you know, get every scout in the building and really build their boards. I mean, just crawl away in the cave and spend a good 2 weeks or so just building their final draft board. That doesn't mean he still can't make trades and, you know, make signings like they did the past 2 days. But my hunch is when they made those, four signings in 2 days, it's just kind of so – we don't have to worry about those stuff for a while.
Taking care of the bottom end of your roster. Yeah. And, you know, these guys
are cleaning. You know?
None of those names are you know, other than maybe Patterson are people that people go, oh, wow.
Yeah, but they're not $10 million a year guys. You know, they're not huge investments.
They're guys much like last year's signings that when it's November – and attrition starts to hit some of the other teams, you're like,
Or even worse, when attrition starts to hit you, Ogunjobi's down and Benton's down for this game. Well, Lowry, you're playing every snap.
Dean Lowry, you've started 90 games in the league.
You know? I know you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not what we wanted, but, you know, that's how the league works. I mean, I find it so funny that fans, analysts, they'll definitely be, you know, less injured next year than this year. You don't think anybody gets hurt going for like that? That's an anomaly.
It's not the way it works,
Yeah, well, they'll have Cam Hayward all year. He'll be fine. Like, you don't know that.
So Matt Miller, who we did Matt Miller's, he did his, that wasn't a mod, it was his rankings, right?
The other day. Yeah, we went through, I think, a couple days ago.
Yeah, a couple days ago. He has a seven-round.
That's an endeavor.
Mock draft. All 257 picks. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this up into two segments. So we're going to do the first, we'll spend the first segment on the first round. The next segment, we'll go through the rest of it.
Matt does really good work.
Steeler picks and maybe some of the other interesting
ones. As well. Yeah, so I'm interested in his first round, and then we can definitely go through all the Steeler
this
picks.
This is a heck of an undertaking.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so he included trades.
Did he? That's what was my next question.
Yeah. So he's got the Chicago taking Caleb Williams.
Sure.
He's got Washington taking Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
We'll know a lot more about that pick after today with the LSU Pro Day.
Yeah.
I hear that, you know. Okay. He then at three has Minnesota moving up for quarterback. This is what I had mocked in our last mock draft on Steelers.com.
I'm warming up to this from a Patriot perspective more and more, too.
Yeah. You know? It just makes sense for them. Acquire them. Even if you don't get both first-round picks from Minnesota this year, let's say they give you one this year and one next year, another third.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge.
For a team that doesn't have a lot of capital right now.
And they may adore Drake May in this situation, but to drop him into that situation,
it's tough.
You're begging for him not to do well.
Yeah, so Minnesota comes up and gets Drake May. The cost here, the Viking, let's see here. So they get 11, 23, along with a 2025 first-rounder.
Yeah, I think to get the three, you're going to be
If you could get three first out of Minnesota to come up and get this pick, mm-hmm. you have to do it.
I think you do it, right. I mean, that's an offensive tackle. That's a receiver.
Yeah. If I was Chicago, I would consider doing not now that they've traded yeah. Justin Fields, but I would have considered doing that. Like three first-round picks?
Is a haul.
Yeah.
It's just none of them are super high, but that's okay.
You don't know what next year's is going to be.
No, I'm just talking about for this year, two in this round.
Two this year's. Pretty valuable.
It is. Yeah. It is.
So they come up and get Drake May.
Okay.
At four.
Which, hey, I wouldn't blame the Vikings for that trade either.
No.
If both teams could win the deal.
Yeah, if you think he's the guy. And that would be one, though, that won't be made until draft day.
I would imagine.
Unless they love all three quarterbacks, which is highly unlikely.
Unless the Vikes are just as happy with all three, which maybe, but I doubt it.
Denver then trades up.
They definitely won't go to four to get a quarterback. You
know. Denver then trades up. They give up the number 12 pick, a 2025 first-round pick, and a 2026 first-round pick.
Okay.
Three first-round picks, and then so you don't have a first-round pick the next 3 years to come up and get J.J. McCarthy. And I talked to some people who were at the Michigan Pro Day. They said that J.J. McCarthy's Pro Day was outstanding.
Yeah.
Said he threw the ball with much more velocity
than
anybody thought.
Yeah, he can – you even see that on Saturday, just sitting there at Lazy Boy. Yeah. He will gun it over the middle into tight windows. I still think he could maybe use a year or bring along slowly. But, hey, I would never condemn a team for being aggressive to go get a quarterback. But, I mean, when we rewrite Broncos history, think of the investments they had in Russell Wilson.
They haven't had a first round. They won't have, will have not had McCarthy. A first round draft pick in like 5 or 6 years.
Other than McCarthy.
And they'll have have one quarterback to show for.
Right. If they miss on him, I mean,
it's a big deal.
Oh, it puts you back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, so that would be the Chargers then do nothing. They sit there. They get Marvin Harrison Jr.
As I say, they just are thrilled the quarterbacks are falling off the board. Right?
Yeah. At six, the Giants take Malik Nabers.
Again, they almost can't lose.
Yeah,
I mean they're going to get a receiver there. I think.
Seven, Tennessee takes Joe Alt.
Chalk.
Yeah. At eight, the Falcons take Dallas Turner, which is
okay.
somewhat chalky.
If I were them, I'd be looking to move back.
I would look to move back, or if I was going to stay there, I might take one of who's my number one defensive tackle?
I mean, D-tackle would influence it more. I just think they have a higher grade on Turner than the D-tackles, but that's why I was saying with Dre Down is I don't know that there's any defensive player that's a top eight player.
Yeah.
You know, like you're leaving Roma Dunze on the board. Or tackle two on the board just because they're not really needs for you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would take the Dunze if I were them.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting because, you know, this is Raheem Morris' first year back. He's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
And there were more defensive coaches hired this year.
It wasn't all quarterback
coaches. Yeah, it wasn't all guys who were offense. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys have defensive minds. At the same time, you may not, because of how this falls, unless somebody wants to come up and get a Dunze,
yeah,
I don't know who else anybody comes up to get unless it's one of the tackles.
I would say tackle two or a Dunze or Bowers.
Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, who knows? I mean, who that team would be, but I would be really interested.
At nine, then the Bears take a Dunze,
and they'd be thrilled.
Yeah,
I mean, again, he's probably 9 out of 10 drafts. I think he's a top 5 pick.
Yeah, 10. The Jets take Brock Bowers. That's starting to get a little chalky. It's recent chalk, but it's getting chalkier and chalkier.
So, I'm kind of a wacko. And last night, I had a conversation with some people we're down here with, talking about if Bowers falls to 20, I think you just jump on him.
Yeah.
You know, we've had that conversation several times. But I'm sitting there thinking last night, I was like, if you're the Chiefs, how much would you invest to go get Brock Bowers? Like, 32, if he falls past the Jets.
Yeah, you're not going to go up to 10.
I wouldn't go to 10 and just say, you hang out with Travis all the time. He's only going to be here one more year at most, probably.
Yeah, you're going to be Travis's valet. When Travis goes on a date with Taylor, you're going to be the third wheel.
Not so bad. I mean, probably do some cool stuff. In the meantime, you're going to be on the field together a ton.
Yeah.
Pat's going to be here. You just listen to him. I mean, like, do you know how valuable he would be to the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I'd give up a
lot
for
him. But the cost to go from 32.
As if he slips past 10.
Yeah.
And
even
to
that's going to be – you probably – to go
oh,
from –
oh, I'm thinking like next year's first.
Yeah, to go from like 32 to 11 or 30, even 32 to 15 is going to cost – it's going to be expensive.
That's why I was bouncing around in my noggin is like no one trades up the farm to go get a tight end.
Yeah.
But their formula's been pretty good with the tight end, you know.
At 11, the Patriots, and after trading down, take Fashanu.
Good. I would take one of the tackles there, not one of the receivers.
At 12, the Cardinals, after trading down, take Brian Thomas.
Hmm.
That's as high
it's
as
a little
I've,
early.
That's as high as I've seen him, but that's a need.
Yeah, they have a lot of needs, but you should get the premium player, and he's pretty close. Okay.
And we'll know more about him today after his pro day. I imagine he'll look good running around down there.
So Matt Miller, great point. Matt Miller did a 7-round mock, so it's not like he's cutting corners.
Right.
But if this was the case, and this is what happened to the Cardinals last year, if I moved to 12, I would have been on the phone to get to 9 to get a Dunze. Because you have tons of picks.
Yeah.
You had tons of picks before this deal. Now you have an overflow of picks. Thomas is great, but you could get Thomas at 18 or 19 maybe, but if I could just throw a little sweetener to go to 9 and get a Dunze, like, oh, yeah.
You might love Thomas, though.
You might.
You might.
There's a lot to like.
Yeah. At 13, the Raiders take Bo Nix.
That works out well for them, for not having to go anywhere.
So that's now 5 quarterbacks in the first 13 picks, which is good for the Steelers.
The Steelers are loving it. Yeah.
At 14, the Saints take Talisi Fuaga.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He'd be a nice Steeler.
He would be a very nice Steeler. He is a nasty, nasty, nasty. Did I say he's nasty?
He's pretty nasty.
It's pretty nasty. At 15, the Colts take Byron Murphy.
That would work.
That would make some sense. You know, DeForest Buckner's well over
expensive
30 now,
too.
And he's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
The Grover Stewarts of the world are okay.
I
was just sitting there thinking he's a little bit different body type. He's a very different body type than Buckner. And they always want the guys that look like condors. I mean, just in terms of body type, he doesn't fit what the Colts do. But in terms of needs and helping them, they're interesting. I know we've both done a lot of mocks. The Colts are always hard for me.
Yeah, like, they could go a lot of different ways.
They really could. I'm not sure there's any wrong way they could go.
I could see a corner there, too, though.
I could see a corner, Mitchell in particular.
At 16, the Seahawks take Troy Fatanu. That's getting a little chalky here now, too.
He's from that neighborhood. Yeah. Their offensive coordinator was from Washington. He could, I mean, instead of saying, I think he can play tackle, you just put him in a guard.
Just put him in a guard,
like Zach Martin. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
And he could still kick out the tackle.
I
think it's not Cross is the.
Cross is the left, and they drafted another one the same round 2 years ago.
But he's on a,
four-year deal.
Yeah, four-year deal. So he's 2 years into it now. He's in year three, so Fatanu.
Or injury or whatever, right.
Fatanu could always kick out. You
know, keep him in the Northwest.
Excuse me. Jacksonville takes Quinyon Mitchell at 17.
Yeah, that's a good pick, yeah.
At 18, the Bengals take Terrion Arnold. That fits their M.O.
See, that's
they
more
take
like
corners
it.
A lot.
They do draft
round.
Corners high. They absolutely do. And if he's still there.
Yeah. 19, the Rams take Jared Verse.
Would make some sense. Yeah. I would think Murphy would be. They're another team to go a lot of different directions.
Yeah. At 20, the Steelers take Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay. I mean, we know who he is. Center's a need. I would prefer tackle at that point, to be very honest with you. But I get it.
Really
good football player.
I would have a tough time, though, passing on the guy who goes at 21.
I know who's still up
to Miami, and that is J.C. Latham.
Yeah, and I think Powers Johnson could easily end up in Miami.
Yeah, I think you could flip-flop those two picks and go either way with that, but that would make so much sense.
Oh, if Latham's sitting there at 20, that's a home run to me.
Yeah.
That's a sprint to the podium guy.
Yeah. In fact, even at that point, you maybe start thinking of trading up for him when he slides that far.
Okay,
yeah,
right,
it's like,
right.
Okay. At 22, the Eagles take Nate Wiggins.
That's their type of pick. Tradesy, a premium position. A lot of the linemen were gone.
The Patriots at 23, after moving down, they get Cooper DeJean.
Hmm. Belichick would love him.
Yeah.
I mean, the defensive staff is still pretty much in place. I would go offense, to be honest with you.
But they've always loved those guys. Yeah. They can do multiple things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the things that you love about you could put DeJean at outside cornerback. Mm-hmm. You could put him either safety spot. You could put him in the slot.
Yep.
I mean, he can play anywhere in your back end.
I mean, I think everyone that listens to us know we adore DeJean, but they took Gonzalez in the first round last year. They transition tagged Duggar. Like, as bad as that offense is, I would go offense.
I understand that. And he's also might be your return guy, so he can't put points on the board.
Yep.
He's going to work out sometime in April.
Yes.
So that's going to be a big one.
That's huge. I mean, yeah. Right before the draft, everyone's going to be able to react to it. Right?
He's going to go out and run like a 4.38.
You hope. Yeah, I mean, that's what he's capable of when fully healthy.
At 24, and they would then have Christian Gonzalez and Cooper DeJean. That would be
That'd
be a really nice duo. At 24, the Cowboys take Amarius Mims.
I almost think they have to take line.
Yeah.
Miami and Dallas, the more I look at them, almost have to take linemen.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if they pass on Guyton, though.
Mm-hmm. I like Mims more than Guyton.
Yeah, I do too, but,
the nature of that organization.
Yeah. But, well, and at 25, the Packers take Guyton next.
Okay. So, I mean, Bakhtiari's out of the mix, and their tackles are okay, but they could bring him along slowly.
I wonder, if you get to this situation like this, and Latham is still there at 20, are the Rams getting calls to get ahead of the Steelers?
Yeah.
From teams trying to get up there to get ahead of
it. I would think so.
I would think so, too. That's why, if it gets to that range, if I'm the Steelers, I might try to be just a little bit aggressive there to move up a couple of spots to make sure I get that guy.
One of the problems with that is Cincinnati's at 18. They never trade. I'm sure they wouldn't trade at the Steelers.
Yeah, and are you going to move up one spot?
I don't think you move one.
Yeah.
Do you want to give up enough to go to 17 with a team that has similar needs to you with Jacksonville?
Right.
So
it's tricky.
It's a little hairy, yeah.
You know, when people talk about, just trade up, it's not that simple.
It's not that simple. Yeah. You got to find the right spot, yeah. And the fact that the team two ahead of you is a dead zone is a problem.
At 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Leitu.
Sure. It makes sense to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good player that late.
27, the Cardinals, this part of their trade back. This is the pick they got from Houston last year.
Mm-hmm. So they have three in this scenario.
Yeah.
They ended up with Thomas, the receiver.
They had 11.
I think 23 would have been one. Maybe not.
23 was England's pick.
No, so they made the deal with New England. They didn't make the deal with, so Arizona didn't trade back. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
They traded with the.
They were the team that got three futures from Denver.
Okay, that's from Denver.
Yeah.
Okay, so they only had two first round picks.
So they had two first round picks. Yeah.
Okay.
They had Denver's
Thomas
pick
in the first round.
Thomas, and then they go get Graham Barton.
Nice. Okay. I mean, he'll play somewhere on that interior.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have their tackles.
At 28, the Bills take a Donnie Mitchell.
I think that's a landing spot for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if Diggs is on the move or not, but
they get a better version of Gabe Davis.
Yeah. Agreed. Younger. I would much rather have him than Gabe Davis.
At 29, the Lions take Chop Robinson.
That would fit.
Yeah.
In a way, it would fit. Because
he's so much different than Hutchinson. Yeah.
In a dome, I always think about the get off, but he's not a knee biter.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
They're pretty set at D tackle. Corner became a need even after acquiring people.
Yeah, but you can get that later.
Yeah. Day two corners aren't bad.
At 30, the Ravens take Ladd McConkey.
They need a receiver pretty bad.
Yeah. That would Ladd McConkey and Zay Flowers would be a pretty
small.
Nice. Small. Well, McConkey's not small.
No.
But
I think it's a little redundant, but it's a dangerous, quick-twitch duo.
Yeah. At 31, the 49ers take Jordan Morgan.
I think that's a real good fit for him.
Yeah.
Whether it's guard or tackle, he fits that system really, really well as a movement player. I like that a lot.
And at 32, the Chiefs take Xavier Worthy.
I think everyone just does that.
Run on wide receivers here late in the first round.
It is super fun. I mean, he's the fastest guy in combine history, and we know what Tyreek Hill did there.
Andy Reid with this really fast guy. All the possibilities.
I just think after you sign Marquise Brown, I get to it's only a one-year deal. That should be a tackle. That should be a Snead replacement. You know, just because it's fun to add the fastest guy in the league to Mahomes, don't think they'll do it.
Yeah,
another little guy.
Another slight type of player.
Yeah,
they've got some. They've had some of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten rid of them.
I mean, I'd rather have him than Mecole Hardman. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Brown may not last, but Andy Reid's like shaking big people too, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's not just speed, speed, speed. I mean, if he would like a nice route runner or, you know, somebody.
I mean, I'd take Siamataya
that does something different. Or, yeah, somebody like that, or, you know.
Best defensive back available type of thing.
Kool-Aid McKinstry or something like that. That would make, would make a lot of sense for them.
After losing Snead, I know it's cute. I mean, and maybe it does happen, and it would be scary, but I don't think that's the best team building for them after signing Brown.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
But that's his first round. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dig into the next six rounds, and this is where it kind of gets interesting. We'll go maybe –
We'll go over all the Steeler picks.
We'll go over all the Steeler picks, all the other AFC North picks, and anybody else that stands out there that we really like. That,
we're not going over 257
picks. No, we won't do that. We won't bore you with that, but we'll keep looking here and see where this thing goes. We'll do that when we return. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are at the NFL meetings here in Orlando. Well, the aftermath of the NFL meetings here in Orlando. But we'll be back with more on The Drive right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
And we're back. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are here in Orlando at the Ritz-Carlton where the league meetings just wrapped up yesterday. We're going through Matt Miller's full seven-round
that's an endeavor,
draft on
man.
ESPN here.
I give him credit.
We just gave you the first round here. We're going to start off here in the second round. The run on receivers continues here.
Okay.
At the top of round two, which I could see happening.
So I was thinking at the break, maybe a fun little game. Like, we do our mocks and things. If we were in charge of the Steelers' pick, I think they would have Latham right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if we go through the seven-rounder, like, what would they have ended up with if we were in charge with X players off the board?
Yeah.
I think we'd have Latham.
And we would be on the phone trying to come up about 10 spots to make sure we get Frazier.
Yeah, but, I mean, what screws up my thing is where did Powers Johnson go then? Maybe the next pick to
probably
Miami.
Probably to Miami, and Barton was still gone as well. So those two center prospects are off the board. That being said, there are some centers.
Going 51 to 32 is a jump, though, or 33 is a jump.
I'm saying 51 to 41.
40, that's where I'm interested,
So,
as much as I like Frazier, I'm not breaking the bank for
him. No. So Xavier Leggett goes to Carolina with the first pick.
Nice, nice. It's a good receiver neighborhood. You said there's a run coming up.
Keon Coleman goes at 34 to the Patriots.
Yeah. Who would you take out of those two if you were in charge of the Steelers? One's a lot faster.
One's really physical.
I think Coleman's a better catch point guy, probably a little bit better route runner, body control guy at this point. I think I'd take Leggett.
I think I'd take Leggett as well. But, you know,
after the catch.
Yeah. Keon Coleman's
would fit in really well.
His speed, his straight line speed wasn't great, but everything he did in the position drills in terms of the three cone and all that stuff.
Everything else is great.
Was great.
Yeah. It's always the most overrated aspect.
He's almost like DK Metcalf without the speed, without the straight line speed. Opposite of DK Metcalf,
okay,
I should say.
Right.
Metcalf didn't do well in the cone drills and those kind of things, but his speed was great.
Right.
This guy's a similar size player, not quite as big.
But DK's pretty freaky.
But he corners pretty well.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's
weird. It's a different skill set.
I don't remember when they started doing it. It might even be this year, but they timed the gauntlet drill.
Yeah.
You know, and he stayed right on that line. He didn't waver at all, showed immense body control.
And he's a basketball player.
And had the best time on the gauntlet drill.
Yeah.
Never slowed down catching the football. I'm not saying that's more important than a 40, but that was an interesting
if you run your routes at the same speed
and
never slow down coming in and out of your breaks,
that's
huge.
It's a skill. No,
huge.
I would be very interested in him in the second round.
Yeah. Jerzon Newton goes at 35. Darius Robinson at 36.
Yeah. They're going to be borderline first rounders.
Yeah.
Newton hasn't worked out yet either.
Kamari Lassiter goes at 37. Edgerrin Cooper, the first linebacker, at 38. Kingsley Suamataya, who you mentioned late in the first round there, he goes at 39 to the Panthers.
Oh, that'd be a nice pickup for the
Panthers.
That's
a second pick they got. Patrick Paul at 40 to Washington. So this is that area here. Now, Green Bay takes Enos Rakestraw.
Okay. Now I might be calling about, you know, getting to Frazier neighborhood.
Yeah. 42, the Texans take Braden Fisk.
Okay.
43, the Falcons take Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these teams don't need a center.
Yeah. 44, The Raiders take Roger Rosengarten.
Okay. It's fine by us, especially if we were taking Latham.
45, the Saints take Roman Wilson. Hmm. So we're getting closer here. Gerard's going to be happy. Gerard Schaefer here videoing us, perhaps.
Look how thrilled he is.
At 46, the Colts take Marshawn Nyland. Now we're getting really close here. 47, the Giants take Michael Penix.
And they weren't going to take a center.
Right. 48, now the Jaguars could take
one. They could take a center.
But instead they take Mason Smith.
Wow, that's early for him, but
he's got that body type.
We're not going to get him in fourth-round mocks much
longer.
No. Yeah, by the way.
49, the Bengals take Ricky Pearsall.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. They should go receiver early.
Yeah. At 50, the Eagles take Peyton Wilson, and I have not yet looked at this pick.
We would take Frazier.
But I'm pretty sure it's going to be Frazier. And it's not. Wow, it's 51, the Steelers taking Malachi Corley.
It's a player I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
But again, well, they took a center in the first round on his mock.
That's true.
He doesn't know what we did.
But we would have taken Frazier. We would have Latham and Frazier at this point.
Which I know you and I would give our first two picks up for in an instant.
Yeah.
I mean, I would throw something in, to be honest, if you get those two guys. Right. I mean, no doubt. But in this case,
yeah,
they already had the center.
Corley's another guy that the Steelers have had in for a visit. Mm-hmm. You know, so
physical, he would fit well.
Yeah. At 52, the Rams take Kalen Bullock. We're not going to go through the all now.
Yeah, yeah.
54, the Browns finally make their first pick, and it's Tavondre Sweat.
I can see them going that direction. Yeah, you know, just a space eater. A lot of their guys are movement players. But Tomlinson's similar, though, too.
At 55, the Dolphins take Zach Frazier.
Okay, they took a tackle in the first round.
Yeah, they did it the other way
They
around.
Ended up with Latham and Frazier.
Yeah. That's
we been the Dolphins,
we would have done,
right,
yes.
Right.
We would have taken Latham and Frazier. That's who the Dolphins
ended
up with.
Okay.
The first running back goes off the board at 56, Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys.
I want to mention that because it doesn't affect the Steelers much, but most people have him as running back one. And the big knock on him or concern is
when's he ready to play?
But the Cowboys team doctor did the surgery on him.
Oh.
He's going to be a Cowboy.
He's going to be a Cowboy. Yeah.
He's from Texas. He's going to be a Cowboy, and it's a need. I think he'll be going to that pick right there.
Let's see. Another center comes off the board at 58.
Who's that?
The Packers take Mason McCormick, center out of South Dakota State.
Most call him a guard, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe we should investigate McCormick as a center. Would he fit the bill? And people really like the player.
Yeah.
I've kind of ignored him because I thought he was guard only.
Well, they're saying they have Josh Myers.
Yeah.
And they're saying he could play guard, but then give you a backup behind.
Okay.
Myers.
Myers is also guard capable, but
yeah.
I think he's mostly a guard. But if teams think, see, that's something a lot of us don't know is like
how many of these guys have that in their background.
In their background,
yeah.
You know, like the Steelers might not say there's three centers that are make or break. Maybe there's five.
Yeah,
and one that's of them.
The Beast should be coming out next week.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you'll learn a lot of that stuff in the Beast.
Yep, absolutely. And not just like, oh, he went to the Senior Bowl and snapped a couple times. Like
yeah.
That's not enough to say.
That's
he's a
not.
Center,
yeah,
right,
that's
right.
Not going to tell me that. 59, we finally have our first safety come off the board.
Newbin
goes to the Texans.
Newbin.
It's TJ Tampa goes to the Bills at 60.
I'd consider him in the second round if
yeah.
things could break.
Oh, the Ravens take Mike Sanistrill at 62.
Mm, that's a Raven pick, too.
Yeah.
Right.
The San Francisco 49ers take Chris Jenkins. There's another, you know,
more
potential.
D-line for them. Wow.
Yeah. Moving into round three here. Let's look at the Adisa Isaac goes to Washington at 67.
Good.
The Patriots take Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver out of Washington, at 68.
I like those other Washington receivers quite
yeah.
a bit. Yeah.
Jatavion Sanders, the second tight end off the board, he goes to the Chargers at 69.
Okay. I mean, you'd love to see him fall.
Oh, 71. Max Belton goes to the Arizona Cardinals.
He'd be a great round three target for the
yeah,
Steelers.
Absolutely. Let's see here. Who else jumps at Andrew Phillips, another one of those guys.
Round three,
goes to Denver at 76. So we're getting close to that Steelers pick, and those guys are just coming off the board. So he goes to the Broncos at 76, Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. Brendan Rice goes at 77 to the Raiders.
But in his draft, they have a center and a receiver. In our draft, we have a right tackle and a center.
Yeah. At 78, Kyree Jackson. Another one of those big cornerbacks. He goes to Washington. The Bengals take Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee, at 80.
I could see them doing running back.
Yeah, they definitely have a need there.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Is that the second back that you saw?
Yes.
Yeah.
At 83, the Rams take Ruke Ororo.
One pick, I'd be really interested.
One pick ahead of the Steelers.
Okay.
At 84. That would have been, yeah.
So in our world, I would be looking at receiver corner. Ruke definitely would have been a consideration.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this world, I'd like to get a tackle.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's who he has them taking. At 84, the Steelers take Christian Jones, offensive tackle out of Texas.
Okay. I mean, I would think he would fight. See, that's a weird one, though. Like, you'd love to move Broderick to, let's say this happens. I think Christian Jones is basically only a right. You'd love to take Broderick, put him at left, and then that makes Dan Moore do something he's not great at right, and those two battle it out. Like, he's not just good enough to say, Dan, sorry, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
You know, that's my problem with some of the third-round tackles.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep Broderick at right.
Well, you know, Christian Jones is a right tackle only. That's what he's going to do. So maybe just say, Christian, you just line up at right tackle.
I think that's all he can do. That's what you want him to do, you know.
You mix him in some first-team snaps, and then maybe halfway through camp you go, and move Broderick Jones over and say, okay, work over here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a balancing act.
Yeah. At 85, the Browns take Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State.
Oh, I think they're going to go back high.
Yeah. They almost have to.
The whole division, Mike.
Yeah. Except for the Steelers.
Right.
At 86, the Texans take Bo Limmer, the center out of Arkansas.
Okay.
So another center off the board.
I say these centers going in round three. Matt Miller's evaluating these guys in a vacuum, and I think he's a very good evaluator. If he thinks Limmer, McCormick, maybe even Bortolini are worth third-round picks, well, Steelers have two. You know, if you don't get Frazier, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, a third-round center to start in this league.
Jalen Polk, the other Washington
like
wide receiver,
yeah,
he goes at 87 to Dallas. Let's see here. DJ James, cornerback out of Auburn, goes at 89 to Tampa.
Okay. Steelers should be coming up here soon. Huh?
They are. Let's see here. Dominic Pooney goes to the Ravens at 93. They have a need at guard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do.
Yeah. Zach Zinter goes at 94 to the San Francisco 49ers. If you're the Ravens, would you take pass on Zinter?
I don't know.
They're going to know a lot about him.
It's true. They did that same move last year, though, with Voorhees.
Yeah.
You know, the red shirt guard.
Let's see here. Blake Fisher goes to Cincinnati at 97. That
would take Fisher over.
I would take Fisher
guy.
Over Jones.
Yeah,
I would take Fisher over Jones, yeah.
Yeah, over the tech, yeah.
But in this case, he goes there. Trent Brown's only on a one-year deal.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes some sense. And then the Steelers, at 98, take Renardo Green, cornerback out of Florida State.
Okay. I mean, I think that's the right neighborhood, and he would fit.
Slot capable,
yeah. End of third round type neighborhood for him.
Yeah.
Sure.
99, the Rams take the Yale offensive tackle.
Okay.
Whose name... I pronounced tackles. It a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to give this another shot. Okay.
Yeah, offensive tackle. Works.
Yeah. At 100, the Washington Commanders take Theo Johnson, the tight end out of Penn State.
I think
that's
should.
The third tight end off the board.
I mean, they have Zach. They're old at tight end. They have Zach Ertz.
Okay. This gets a little easier
so
to read now
from
100 down.
First third-round pick?
The first third-round pick was Chris Jones.
Okay. Jones and the Florida State.
Looking here, pick 101, the Carolina Panthers take Braylon Allen.
Running back out of
Wisconsin.
So I think there's going to be a running back run in this neighborhood.
Yeah, and there's several going off the board here.
Cole
Bishop goes at 102. Spencer Rattler at 103 goes to New England. Blake Corum.
So in this case, New England only has Brissett and Rattler.
Yeah.
But they're doing what we would have done and got other things.
The Chargers take Blake Corum. There's a shock.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Oh, my goodness. Muhammad Kamara, who is our sleeper outside linebacker, edge guy, he goes at 106 to the Tennessee Titans. Marshawn Lloyd goes to the running back out of USC, goes to the Giants.
I like him quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
There are running back needy teams out there.
Yeah.
More than people think.
Atlanta Falcons take Tanner Bordellini at 109.
There's another center.
Yeah. Was that six?
Yes.
Six centers off the board. Who else we got? The Ravens.
McCormick's really a center, yeah.
The Ravens at 113 take Trevon Wallace, the linebacker out of Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, can't just count on Simpson being the Queen replacement.
Cincinnati takes McKinley Jackson at 115, the defensive tackle out of Texas A&M.
He doesn't really move the needle for me all that much.
No, not really.
It's okay.
Then at 119, the Steelers take Gabe Hall.
He'd be a Rook Light.
Yeah.
I mean,
Had a great Senior Bowl
great
week.
Senior Bowl. He's pretty twitchy for a long developmental player.
Might be the last of those body types.
And there's not many of them, but, yeah, you get him this late, you can mix him in, sure.
Luke McCaffrey goes to Denver, the wide receiver out of Rice. So, McCaffrey, we get another McCaffrey in Denver.
In Denver, there you go.
That's where his dad played.
Probably where he grew up.
Yeah. Christian Mahogany goes to the Bears at 122, the guard out of Boston College.
I think
he's
center capable, too, but I don't know. He's not a real mobile guy.
Yeah, yeah. The Packers take Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane.
They always take one 126. A year earlier than you think they will.
Yeah.
Or 2 years earlier than you think they will. It's worked.
Let's see. Who else we got here that stands out? Okay, we got the there's your running back for the Ravens at 130. They take Bucky Irving.
Okay. I mean, there's going to be a lot of running backs in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of that.
Okay, so that gets us through round four. Moving on to round five. Who steps? Oh, Tip Raymond, the tight end out of Illinois, who's massive, goes to New England.
Really well.
Ray Davis, a running back out of Kentucky, goes to Arizona.
He's going to be on my fantasy teams next year, by the way.
Yeah.
He's going to be the cheap, late guy.
Let's see here. Cincinnati takes Jacob Cowing, the wide receiver out of Arizona, at 149.
Real good route runner.
Slot.
Yeah.
Slot. Baltimore, who do they take? Cleveland takes Tyron Hopper, the linebacker to Missouri, at 156.
Okay. Their linebackers are so-so.
Yeah. The Ravens at 165 take Keith Randolph Jr., the defensive tackle out of Illinois.
Mm, I need to do some work on him.
He's a bigger body guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. Any other AFC North picks in that round? No, that's it for round five. So moving on to round six.
The Steelers have
a couple picks here. So at pick 178, they take Edifon Olufashio, the linebacker out of Washington.
Oh, he was a superb tester.
Yeah.
I mean, his jumps were great. His 40 was great. His 10 was great. That's the kind of pick I like in round six, is a
traits guy.
Mark Robinson type, you know, that would immediately be a special team superstar that if you develop him properly or he comes along properly, he might be a starter in a year.
At 187, the Falcons take Jordan Travis, the quarterback out of Florida State.
That would work for them, too.
Yeah. Cincinnati at 194 takes Dalen Holker, tight end out of Colorado State. And at
some people are really high on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a name I've been hearing more and more.
He's the guy after Trey McBride there.
Yeah.
At 195.
The incredible Holker.
Yeah, there you go. 195, the Steelers with their final pick take Xavier Weaver, wide receiver, Colorado.
Okay. I don't know much about him. I may have heard the name, but I don't know much about him.
See the rest of the AFC North picks here. Cleveland takes at 206 Nathaniel Watson, linebacker out of Mississippi State.
I think he's also a pretty good tester.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we may have taken him in a mock draft too late. Cincinnati at 214 takes Laydon Robinson, guard out of Texas A&M. Baltimore at 218 takes Tylan Grable, offensive tackle out of Central Florida.
Okay.
In seventh round, finishing
Steelers
this thing
don't
up.
Have a pick here.
They don't have a pick. Cincinnati at 224 takes Xavier Thomas, defensive end out of Clemson. Baltimore at 228 takes Evan Williams, safety out of Oregon. Cincinnati then takes at 237 Dejon Anthony, safety out of Ole Miss. Cleveland takes at 243, KT Leviston, guard of K-State.
Okay.
And I believe that should do it. No, the Ravens have 250
late rounder lineman in the league.
Zion Tupolo-Fatu, defensive end out of Washington. And I believe that does it for the rest of the AFC North. Yeah, those names at the bottom of that, they're just not.
I mean, again.
They don't jump out at me maybe some previous drafts.
I would say, I mean, it's not like we're ever going to be experts on seventh-round picks. We just don't have enough hours in the day. But I would have said 365 days ago or exactly 2 years ago or exactly 3 years ago, we like that sixth, seventh round a lot more than we do now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's obvious. I mean, there's not many juniors declared.
Yeah. But I think, you know, so the Steelers come out of this with center in the first round.
Receiver in the second round.
Offensive tackle in the third.
Corner.
And a corner in the first.
Who was that fifth pick? They have five.
The fifth was the defensive tackle.
Yeah. Hall. Yeah. So
I would have flip-flopped the first two picks.
I would have loved the draft to gone this way. I always would have made different picks. Like, if you said, here's the haul that Matt Miller got for the Steelers, would you trade all their picks for that? I'd say no.
Yeah.
But if you told me these are the first 19 picks and Latham's on the board,
yeah,
and Frazier's on the board when you pick in the second round, sign me up.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's Matt Miller's seven-round mock. That's quite the endeavor. We're going to do a little mock
here. Mock it up. It's been a while.
Let's mock it up. We'll do our seven-round draft picks, but we're just going to make the Steeler picks. We'll do that when we return. After this, you're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live at the NFL meetings here in Orlando, and we'll be here all week. Or we've been here, but all week, I should say. This is our final day here. Of course, you can watch all the shows if you missed any of them on YouTube. You can also listen to them on this, download the podcast as well. But
sure,
go check out the Steelers YouTube channel. Lots of good content there. He's Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We'll be back with more right after this.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked, game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked, your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.